The following is a paid program and does not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of Cumulus Media and FM 103.7 and AM 710 KCMO, Kansas City's most stimulating talk. Percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Yeah, it's that time. Amazingly enough, Sunday. And all is quiet with the world, I think. Or right with the world. Maybe not quiet. I hope you had a good week. Lots of stuff happening. All sorts of, I had a chance to go back to the float. If you haven't tried this, it's absolutely wonderful for stress release. And if it sounds like it would be maybe claustrophobic or something like that, no. These are float tanks, float rooms, all right? Float rooms, and there's one over in the Waldo Brookside area that I really am getting attached to. I have to get my own. Anyway, so it helped to get relaxed this week with all the chaos going on. But when I was reading the stuff that was going on, I was so thrilled because a lot of this has to do with, again, bringing that UFO thing back front and center, which is the whole point of following these things. Because there's so much out there that's so unexplained and unanswered. And we did the show last week with Bigfoot, Sasquatch, and that's getting a lot of connections. If you're checking the archives, it was the recent show with Kelly and Kiwani Lepsritis. I've got to say the name right. Anyway, that's in the archives. A fascinating show, and it's just one of those things that makes you curious about what all's going on. All right, now, if you miss anything, it's on the blog, wendyscoffeehouse.com. blog. All right. I did the headlines in advance today so I wouldn't get lost. It was a good idea because if I'm feeling kind of woozy right now. Anyway, the thing that I was really fascinated by this week is Winston Churchill wrote an essay titled Are We Alone in the Universe? 1939, when Europe was about to enter World War II, never officially published. And basically, it assesses the odds that the other stars in the universe could host planets and what if those planets could have life? So this is, according to the article, 50 years before the discovery of exoplanets. So he concludes, basically, that the universe is so huge that we may never know whether the planets support life. Now, if you listen to a lot of the people who are pilots, generals, and in the know behind the scenes, who say that, yes, we have seen them, they're here, they're out there, this is so cool just because he was thinking about these kinds of big picture things a long time ago and preparing basically to think beyond what's happening here on planet Earth. So that was one of the things, and you can read more about that. Again, that one's going to be linked on the Coffee House. 20-year anniversary of the Phoenix Lights. I was in Phoenix, that area, in 1997. Missed it. It wasn't the right time. So it was kind of a like, you know, you go by this wonderful, fantastic, incredible event, and you're there just a few seconds earlier or late. That was, but hey, I was there. 1997, yeah, made the trip. But 20 years later, we're finding out some of the witnesses who are sharing their stories, they're still giving more information that wasn't all put together at the time, talking about things like memory loss and this common thing of people when they're dissing those who have reported UFOs and other kinds of contact. Why didn't you take a picture? Or why didn't you write about it? Or why didn't you, you know, all this stuff of what could have happened that would have helped science define something and have it concrete evidence. Well, I'll tell you what, when it happens, there are all sorts of other funky things that happens. Like the people who say, I just continued doing what I was doing. I didn't give it any other thought. I didn't go forward with it. I just went back to playing cards or whatever it was I was doing. And in some cases, there's no memory of even having that experience until somebody happens to say something that jogs your recollection. You go, oh, wow, yeah, I know I did that. That's the really funky thing about these kinds of encounters. And again, on the blog, I put this artist, Robert Lemos. He is absolutely incredible, a contactee. And I had a video on there before. I found another one I put up because just the extent of his work. And he says that's why he thinks he was contacted. He says he went out and he was taking a break from a project or something, just went out and sat on the beach. He realized he's sitting across from a UFO. And these two individuals come out, and there they are looking at him. They open a window, and it's like, oh. Now, I think there's more to that than that just happening. The fact that he is an artist and he can do all the work says that this is one of those planned encounters. Anyway, the work that he does sculptures and he does paintings. And it tells a story on a couple of videos, just the background on him. He does not speak English. These are not in English. They are dubbed. But it's absolutely fascinating, the artwork that he provides and the references that he says that they would like us to pay attention to our climate. And they seem to all have that same vested interest in getting us to clean up our act here on planet Earth. I think they're all in cahoots. Somewhere in the galaxies, there's a big table, a round table, saying, what are we going to do about Earth? Earth is just not getting with the program quick enough. Anyway, I'm sure we'll find out soon. The other funky story that was really fascinating is a woman who says she has a ghost and he scares off her boyfriends and her children, and the pets seem to be okay, but she says that's okay. Now she's come to terms with it, and she's fine. She actually likes the ghost when she's there. The ghost makes her feel comfortable, feels like she's got a warm blanket over her, and all is right with the world. Okay, that might not be healthy. Anyway, that's the Daily Mail. Joey the Squirrel, if you didn't hear the story about Joey the Squirrel, who was at home alone when somebody dared break into Joey's dad's house, Joey gave him what for? The guy came home and he's like, uh-oh, things are a mess. And he was hoping the squirrel was fine. Well, the squirrel was more than fine when the police officer did track down the person. Apparently, I don't know if they followed a trail of blood or what, but when they did track down the person, then he said, did you notice the squirrel? Yeah, he would not leave me alone until I left. So the squirrel left the scratches that said, yes, that was the perp. And all is right with the world. And Joey's like, yeah. Anyway, woolly mammoth, 2 years before they make one. Harvard working on that now, story in the Telegraph. I don't know where they're going to go. Everything's getting warm and they've got big fur coats. I'm kind of, oh well. And the honeybee. Have you heard what the honeybees say when they're startled? I like that. Whoop, whoop. That's really a honeybee. That was just fascinating. We had bees. We didn't have enough audio for them to be able to share that little tidbit with us, but it's fascinating. Okay, in Google Street View, you don't have to leave the house now. You can see Africa from the comfort of your PC. All right, Google Street View, Africa, now available. I think that is fabulous. My guest tonight, was an A-list literary agent. Fantastic connections that she forged and getting all sorts of stuff, you know, conspiracies, UFOs, the stuff we talk about now that's a whole lot more mainstream than it used to be. She was there when they were just trying to get people to say, oh, I think we can sell this. And Sandra Martin, up next, snapshots, memories, and recipes on Wendy's Coffee House at KCMO. Wish you had a magical life, that things would just happen, you would know in advance. Well, maybe it wasn't quite that knowing, but it was kind of close. Sandra Martin, literary agent, talks about the dreams and how each one of these special events that would happen, she kind of had a little bit of a premonition or a dream that set the stage. And while she might not have recognized it at the moment, in the reflections, like, wow, this is so cool. And so it's perfect that somebody who has that wonderful dream ability also has an absolutely fantastic life story to share. And it's a mix of if you've ever tried to get a book published or hope that somebody would publish your work and take a look at it, Sandra was the person you wanted to see if you had anything New Age related. Sandra, I'm really, really thrilled and fortunate that you're on the show and I get to talk with you and I've got your book. So all those things. Thank you. I appreciate your time. Looking forward to finding out how this all came about.
Thank you. I appreciate being here and sharing this crazy life I've had with you.
Okay. Now, the thing is that you were a literary agent, and that wasn't exactly somebody just kind of foisted that title on you, and you ran with it. You ran. You was like, okay.
Yeah. Well, I did. I just thought this is actually the first book I sold. The whole time I was selling it and putting it together and doing the negotiating and all of that, I thought, oh, my God, this is what I was meant to do. Who knew? It was, you know, just not even in my vocabulary of understanding, although I had once been in New York City at Doubleday with Jeff Stern. He had written the Edgar Casey Sleeping Prophet book.
Yes.
And I was sort of dating him at the time, which was strange. But anyway, we were up there, and he was talking to his editor at Doubleday, and this was my introduction to that business. I was in the lobby, and he came out of the head of Doubleday's door and slammed the door so hard that the girl sitting in front had to grab things on her desk to keep them from flying off. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. This is publishing, huh?
Yeah. Well, okay. Now, okay, you can defer to him, but this is when you were trying to get the book published and somebody to pay attention to your friend's information. I like the way you took charge and you did that kind of, all right, game on.
I know. Well, you know, I found out very quickly that, and also I didn't know anybody in New York. I knew one woman, Claudia Trevellis, an astrologer that I had met in Virginia Beach. She and her husband had been down there. And I would sleep on her son's bed, you know, with sheets with airplanes on them and things hanging from the ceiling. But and I would go up and spend a week, and then I would go back to Virginia Beach. And so I really didn't know anybody. And I would call up the head of the publishing company and say, my name is Sandra Martin, I'm a new literary agent, and I'm interested in these subjects, and I want to know the names of the editors that are interested in these subjects. I mean, I didn't know that nobody did that, but anyway, I did
that.
And they gave me names of people that they thought would be interested. And at that time, it was like Tony Burbank and six people, really. But I was so gung-ho and, you know, that craziness when you're so sure that you're just doing the right thing and it's the thing to do.
Yes.
Enthusiasm. I have a lot of that.
So you also have, this is,
what was it?
The recipes that go with this are fabulous. And that was, I was like, okay, so how are you going to pair this stuff up? So the borscht, is that the cold calling?
So, you know, what's really funny that I had never had borscht before, but Ingo Swan was one of my clients, and he would take me to this Polish tea room, I think he called it, but it wasn't, that wasn't the name of it, over on 2nd Avenue, and we would have borscht, and it was so good, and ever since then I have liked it.
Okay, so Ingo Swan, just to give people a taste of who you worked with, who else? Because I know Hal Puthoff and some of the other remote viewing people, the real hot, the heavy duty guys from that genre. That had to be fascinating.
God, it was really fascinating. I actually ended up publishing Lynn Buchanan's book, Seventh Sense, which was one of the best remote viewing books. But all of those books came out because of Ingo Swan. Decision to put his particular method out there. The DOD had changed a lot of the way that they were doing things, and they were moving, I guess, I'm not really certain about this, but they, from his perspective, they were moving more towards natural psychics, and he was so certain that his process of controlled remote viewing could train anyone to be a psychic, that they could, if they followed these imprints and these the way that he set it up, then they could tap into this information. And he was so upset that might be lost. And he kept saying to me, that would be my life's work gone. That would be my life's work. And so he got in touch with these guys, and we ended up selling books about that. But it was a really an intense time and full of intrigue, and I met all sorts of amazing people through that, like General Edmund Thompson. General Thompson was like the most, he was like, somebody should make a movie about him. He was so amazing and so, I mean, out of central casting. He didn't talk, he didn't say much. So one of the, this is kind of a funny story, but anyway, one of the first times he wanted to write a book and he wanted to meet me. So Ingo said, I'm going to have him down. He lived in Maine, in Kennebunkport, Maine. And he said, I'll have him down. We'll make a meal. And he said, and Sandra, we'll get General Thompson a little tipsy so that we can find out what's really going on in these programs now. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, that's going to be fun. So we go down, and, you know, he makes this. He was a really good cook, and he made this meal, and he started off with champagne and then all of these different mixed, you know, drinks, and, oh, my God. So Ingo and his and General Thompson's wife, who was a really extraordinary Army wife, who talked, she and I talked, and Ingo was back and forth, back and forth. General Thompson said 25 words. And but during this entire thing, all of us were just getting, oh, my God, we could barely operate because we had been drinking all of these different drinks. And finally, General Thompson just said to Ingo, Ingo, don't you have any scotch? I just can't stand the stuff you're giving me.
Oh.
And, of course, we got no information from him whatsoever.
Well,
but anyway,
yeah.
It was funny.
Yeah,
I ended up actually selling his book, and I learned a humongous amount about what was going on. And he fictionalized it because he said he was afraid to, you know, write it out. But it was all of the research and all of the psychic things that were going on all around the world, the psychic abilities that people had developed and what they were doing and how they were using them. So it was very interesting.
Now, okay, so that's General Thompson's book or Ingo Swann's book?
General Thompson's book.
Okay, because in the book, I wasn't quite sure if it was General Thompson because you said he fictionalized it. See, I had the book Penetration by Ingo Swann, and that is fascinating.
It is. Ingo wrote about 20 books. He wrote a lot of books. And the first one I sold of his, which is terrible, I don't have my list here. I always forget the titles of them. But it was a remote viewing book that was, you know, learning to remote view, that kind of thing. And the Summons used to did it. And it did really, really well. And then he did a book on, Mary Magdalene. And because he was fascinated with that. And He did a lot of paintings of Mary.
Okay, you're right. I've got it in front of me. The Great Apparitions of Mary.
Yes, that's it.
Okay. Yay!
So that it was interesting. And, of course, you know, I think that remote viewing is an awesome ability that everybody that wants to learn to do it can. And Lynn Buchanan and Paul Smith and... God, Dave Morehouse's book. A lot of books were out there that came out sort of in a flurry of those books at the same time.
Well, and then when I was doing the research, just looking into some of the stuff that you had done, the thank yous. There was one, a remote viewers, Jim Schnabel and David Morehouse. They mentioned in their openings, you know, thanks to you, Sandra, for helping me get this work done. So, and the what David Morehouse. You're credited in the book Lethal Weapons, War Without Death. So, okay, this is kind of heavy stuff for New Age.
It was, because I started out really not that way at all. I started out with just books that were, I mean, the first book I sold was a book on alternative care for cats, The Natural Cat, and then Cat Stories, and then, and you know, things like that. And I did a lot. I sold, I think, 13 books on Edgar Cayce's take on dreams, on reincarnation, on everything you can imagine, spirituality, soul growth, all of those things. And I did a lot of self-help. I actually sold, because I was so totally fascinated with dreams, because of my own dreams and my own understanding of my dreams, I I think I just attracted dreams. I mean, I think when I went back and looked at it, I had sold more than 10, I think, books on dreams, mutual dreaming, lucid dreaming, every kind of dreaming you can imagine, and all sorts of different dream, you know, methods on how to understand your dreams. And, you know, because that's actually perennial. People are always interested in understanding their dreams. And so it was a good book to sell.
One of the ones in the book that you talk about is the Ted Turner dream with that and how that related. And we don't have time to go into the thing completely, so I want to hang on to that thought and come in after the break. But it gives a wonderful illustration of how it played out in your reality, and you know what it meant, because at some point you're seeing him, you're in the same building, and then you're dancing with him. It's like, okay, so what the heck is that? And I like the way that you dissect it and then make it make sense, because after you relate that to what's going on in your life, it's absolutely perfect. It's spot on. And then you went with PBS. I think, was it PBS or Discovery for the dream, the series?
It was Discovery. Discovery. And then I did the Intuitions with PBS.
Okay. And I posted this, if you're listening, I posted this, I've a couple of links on it, at least to the blog, so you can follow along. But there's just so much to go with on this. And the food, all right, I want to put a plug in for the orange chiffon cake. It's the orange chiffon.
It is good.
Okay, yeah, that's like the most decadent thing. All right, so we're going to come back and we'll talk a little bit of food and more fun and more wow. He's just way too fun. Oh, Richard Bach. Yeah, I want to mention him too, because John Cleese and Glenn Close. And I guess there's a lot of name dropping in this book now, isn't there, Sandra?
It's really funny, but yeah. And when we come back, I'll tell you about being here and retired in the rural South and having those things anyway.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to take a short break here for some news and things like that. We're paying the bills at the radio station. In the meantime, we're coming back with fabulous stories, recipes, more, and maybe a leprechaun or two. Sandra Martin, literary agent extraordinaire, next on Wendy's Coffee House. Oh, I've got more time, don't I? Okay, here we go. We're going to break for the news in just a moment.
This is KCMO. Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
Thank you for listening. Wendy'sCoffeeHouse.com. Check out the blog. You can follow the show and then check out the archives for the podcast, because after the show, we try to get these up pretty quick. But that's where you can follow along in case you don't have time to listen to the entire show. My guest tonight, Sandra Martin, Snapshots, Memories, and Recipes, the name of the book. And it's a collection of just things that have happened in her life during the time she was a literary agent, after the time, and all sorts of stuff, that the travels, the names, and the fabulous food. Okay, so I'm serious. That orange chiffon cake is like, wow.
And you know, that's my grandmother Maud's recipe. And I made that cake when my daughter Lisa was 3 years old, and forever after, that's what she wanted for her birthday cake. So I've probably made that cake 30 times.
Well, I would have a birthday on a regular basis just to have the cake. I think I could. I'd afford to have a few more birthdays. Okay, so. The other thing too is you mentioned some names. I would like to start with John Cleese, because that one, I like John Cleese. I think he's fabulous. He's so funny and he's so cool. And here you end up, apparently he had a knee that needed work.
I know, it was a very unusual experience, but we had been talking about producing a series. He wanted to do the Everyman's Guide to Spiritual Enlightenment. And so we were putting all that together, and we were trying to do it at HBO, even though I had a lot of inside info from HBO, and they're not really open to these kinds of subjects so much. But anyway, we were going along and doing this, and we were in New York, and we were going to have lunch with him. And he is really, truly, amazingly brilliant guy. I mean, obviously he's smart, but he knows so much about this field. And he entertained the entire room in this little tiny restaurant that we were in on the Upper East Side. And throughout it, he kept saying to me, he was thrilled that we were both Scorpios, for one thing, which was kind of funny, but he kept saying, I bet you're a healer. I think you have healing energy. And I kept going, yeah, you know, I'm sure everybody has a little healing energy. And
yeah, go with it. Oh, yeah.
And then after the table was cleared and everything, and a lot of the people had left in this restaurant, he turns to me and he goes, I know that you can heal, you can help me. I had an operation on my knee, and I know you can heal my knee. And before I could even say anything, he had whipped his knee out from under the table and pulled his pants up. And, you know, he had a big scar there. But just put your hands on it. Just put your hands on it. I was like, oh, okay. So I sort of did a little healing ceremony there, thinking, this is different.
And he's done the funny walk better ever since. Thanks to Sandra, we never knew.
I know, it's just
okay. Yeah, that was bizarre, but that's what's so cool about this. And there's just other little things, little, you know, things that you would think nothing would happen. And you sit in a plane next to a lady and you say, well, I remember the time when I feel like people are staring at me now. And I know this has felt really funny. I felt it before. It was the last time it happened. And my friend told me it wasn't me. It was Herschel Walker, because he's like the most popular person in Georgia. And they were staring at him. But I thought it was me. And you just know how that feels. And then the woman you're talking to is who?
Glenn Close.
Oh, so there you are.
No, she was so sweet listening to me, just totally focused on me. Funny thing, because I thought, wow, everybody is looking at me.
Deja vu again.
Deja vu all over again.
Okay, but you seem to you gravitate to these people who are famous and stars, and you just kind of go right in. It's just you belong there.
I know, you know, I have always felt that, and I can relate this back to myself. I've always thought that stars and people like that were just regular people, most of them. I mean, I know some of them that are totally obnoxious, bad word, but most people are just really, really nice. When I first started being an agent, and I was really successful selling a lot of books, and from people in Virginia Beach, because that's where I was from, and that's where everybody knew me and knew what I had done, and so they were, oh God, I probably got a bazillion manuscripts sent, but I sold this one guy, this one writer's book, and I had gotten him like $300,000 advance, and he was so thrilled over the top that I do believe he told every person in Virginia Beach that I had done that. And it was a little crazy. Uh-huh. But so 6 months goes by. I mean, they did a story on him in the newspaper and, you know, and all those kinds of things. 6 months goes by, and I go to Virginia Beach to do something for something I had to go down there to. And I went to the Heritage, which is this grocery store. We can get a massage, do all sorts of different things, take classes. And, you know, just to buy some groceries, I think. And I just walked in, and there were people there that I have known pretty much my entire life. And instead of walking over to me or waving or saying anything, they started whispering to each other, going, oh, that's Andrew Martin, that's Andrew Martin. And I was just like,
hello?
What the hell is going on here? So I go and I get my stuff that I need to go. And so I go by and I just start talking to them and saying, hey, what are you doing? You know, what's going on? And whatever. And they were all really awkward. It was like, I had not changed, but their perception of me had changed so much that they were uncomfortable talking to me. I was at the ARE, and this girl came. I'm standing right there, and this girl comes up to the front desk and says to this woman that's behind the desk, I hear Sandra Martin's here, and I know her, so when she comes in, I'll tell everybody that she's here. And I was standing right there. She didn't know me at all. I'd never seen her before.
Oops.
But so I realized that people are just people, just, you know, the way that they are. So it's always kind of been like that. But my mom, when I first decided to retire, in New York, you just do all these things. So I had all these pictures of me on the wall with all these famous people.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought them and put them in this house that I was redoing. And And every now and then I would come down, see if they'd done the floor or whatever they were doing. And I came down one time, and I said to my mom, "Mom, I think this is the weirdest thing. Somebody has gone in there and just taken all of these photographs. I can't believe it." And she said, "Oh, Sandra, I took them to my shop." My mom had a tiny little bookshop and put them up because she said, "You know, nobody here in this town would ever believe that you actually knew those people." Like, there's a picture of me and the Dalai Lama and Helen Hunt and Mel Gibson and
yes.
Roy Scheider.
Yes.
And she was just like, nobody would ever believe that. So she just placed these photographs around her shop, sort of random when people would come in. Oh, God.
Random.
It was crazy.
Well, and there was one, I think there was an instance, somebody on the street, Julia Roberts. "Oh, yeah, I know her. I'm reading a script about cowboys." And yeah,
it's like, isn't that bizarre?
Yes. Yes. Wow, what a small world.
I know. I just couldn't believe it. I mean, I was so, when the guy who was telling it, the guy that the girl on the street was flirting with the guy who had been at my party. And anyway, he called to tell me, "Oh, I met your friends." And I was just like, oh, my God, I can hardly believe that.
Okay. Well, see, that's what's so cool. And the dream that you had that I thought related, I will just share a little bit of that, because that's the Ted Turner thing. It wasn't literal, but yet it had so much that was so valid. It's fabulous.
Yeah, and it was really, really powerful. So I went through this long period about, it was when I worked for the PBS station in Norfolk, Virginia. And I went through this period of just dreaming about Ted Turner. I dreamed that we were dancing, and I was amazed at how strong he was and what a good leader he was. And I would dream that we were signing contracts. I would dream that we were sitting at his office eating fried chicken. Good, I don't know why that was. But all sorts of strange things that we were connecting and things. And I would wake up. I was married at the time.
Oh.
And my husband would say to me, I'd have a smile on my face. He'd say, "Have you been dreaming about that Ted Turner again?" Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Amazingly. But I knew that it was a symbol. I knew that he was a symbol for my life. But... you know, I really wasn't real sure what it was, and I was trying to sort of put my thinking dream hat on, but it was really kind of uncanny, and so I just kept having these dreams. And then I thought I was trying to sell the series on dreams. I mean, it took me 10 years to get this thing made, but I just thought one day, why not? I'll just call Turner Broadcasting, because they were up and going then, and see if they would be interested in doing this. So I called and asked for the head of programming, and this voice answered, which seemed a familiar voice, but I was so nervous that I was just blathering on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
"Oh, I've got a series I really want to do. It's a series on dreams, la, 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 la." And I went on and on, and he said, "Yeah, that sounds good. I think you should come down here and show it to us." And I said, "Okay." He said, "Well, can you come tomorrow?" And I was like, "Well, I'm in Virginia."
Sure, yes.
Well, I said, "Next week." Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So he said, "Okay." And we set on a time and everything. And I said, "Well, now who do I see?" And he said, "Ted Turner, you're talking to him. That's what you're going to see."
Surprise.
And, of course, I flew down there. I drove my in-laws' big Mercedes. And I got to the Turner Broadcasting, that big tarot-look building, and he wasn't there. He was off with Raquel Welch, because she had come into town with a yoga video.
Oh, the nerve! After all those dreams!
I know, you know, it finally, you know, I knew what that meant, so I never met him.
Okay, but you connected a few dots. All right, we're going to have to take a break, but I do want to talk about next, because you've had these fabulous experiences. It had to have rubbed off. It rubbed off enough that a leprechaun. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to talk about that little leprechaun, because that's really
okay.
Cool. All right. We're talking again, Snapshots and Memories and Recipes. That's the name of the book. Sandra Martin, the author and former literary agent, A-lister. That's, you know, wow, cool. All right. More with that coming up next on KCMO.
Oh.
This guy is the most extraordinary yodeler. He's Japanese, and this is what he does. If you hear him, it's like that's a chicken attack. I'm sorry. It's just one of those things that when you hear it, it's an earworm, and it won't go away, but in a good way. And so I had to look up all of his stuff to find out more of his yodeling, and he actually is famous because he yodels, chicken yodels in Germany. It's confusing, but it's worth listening to. Sandra Martin, my guest, Snapshots, Memories, and Recipes, a fabulous book, and some really, really good recipes in here, too. The roasted vegetables with eggplant. There's the squash Southern style, which we just had a squash soup tonight that my husband made, and he really did a good job. Apples and bacon, and I was surprised. And the recipes are, I've got to get a plug for those, because we've been talking about people and not giving a whole lot of credit to this fabulous food that you've done. When do you have time to cook?
Do you know that in New York City, everybody in New York goes out, but I am just a natural born, I want to have dinner parties and do things like that. And I had an apartment on the 35th floor on West 57th Street, and it was just perfect for having dinner parties and having parties. I had parties for everybody there, all of my clients and everybody else too. But it was like I didn't do it often, but when I did, I would make a great meal, and, it was just wonderful. When I was working with the Institute of Noetic Sciences, New York Art, we would have dinners there for fundraisers, and people like Colin Wilson would be there, Colin Wilson and Edgar Mitchell, and we would, I would cook for them, and we would have people come and pay to do things like that.
Wow.
So I've just always liked to cook, and I think part of it is that I grew up the oldest of four on a farm, and I think that because my mom was always so busy, I cooked early on. I mean, I was able to whip up a meal probably when I was 10 years old. So
mm-hmm.
I have been cooking for a long time, and I really I love fresh food. And on top of that, I'm allergic to almost every chemical there is in the world in food. And so I have had to have those, shots in your heart to keep you going when I would be in a restaurant and eat something that had so much stuff in it.
Whoa.
So that's really sort of kept me on the,
eating
clean food.
Healthy side. Okay. Yeah. Just a minute. We'll get back to the leprechaun. But first, the fabulous story, Seeking Men in Black Dresses. That's a really powerful story with the way that the woman, the author, goes to meet a holy man and ends up going back where women are not allowed for the most part. And
yeah.
This is just an extraordinary story. And I was so surprised because I've obviously seen some media on this recently. And I was like, whoa, it's in your book.
She was one of the few people, I feel bad saying that, but that I read the proposal and I was so amazed and so impressed that I had to see them right away. I had to meet her right away.
Yeah.
And the next day I took the train down to, she lived in Washington, D.C., and her story was just so, I mean, she's from Australia, and she was a professor, and she was just someone looking for answers and trying to understand, and she was a powerful woman in every way you can imagine, but very astute with understanding so many different civilizations and how it all comes together and kind of what it means, but it was, I mean, when he said to her, when you come back, I will tell you the future. And he did. And pretty much what's happened is exactly what he said.
That's fascinating. And we're not going to go into more. Get the book, read the book, because you're listening to Sandra to tell her memories of the things that are going on. And then the book, of course, that's out now, Men in Black Dresses, is a fabulous, I haven't read it, but this really gives a little bit of background that makes sense and speaks to it. I do know that when you were doing all of this work, you had to have had some kind of extra abilities that started opening up for you too, if they weren't there already, knowing that you had that past life issue with the speaking French and the dreams, that there was other stuff going on for you. How did that play into it? Did you ever feel like you had more stuff that you wanted to share too?
You know, I was so used to, and my daughter and I were laughing because I was going, oh, my God, I don't know, to promote this book. And she's going, yes, you were the one yelling at everybody to go and promote your book.
Yes.
But it's different because, you know, when you're standing there helping people and saying this is what you need, this is what you need to say, this is how you need to say this and everything, it's totally different when it's yourself.
Yes.
But it was, I forgot what. You asked me there. I just went right off on something.
You addressed it. Just the thing of, you know, getting your own stuff out because this stuff was also happening for you. That's where I'm working up to with the leprechaun, because you're out in the garden and you're singing, saying, okay, the fairies are out here. I know they're here. I haven't seen them yet, but I know the fairies are here. Oh, I'll sing a song for the fairies. I'm kind of putting words in your mouth. All right. No, I know. Okay.
So, you know, I had been living on the 35th floor, and so I come and I have this little house on the lake, and I'm redoing the garden, and because it had no garden, and I'm a born farmer. Who knew? I couldn't wait to leave this place, but I got back to it. And I would say, I wonder if there are fairies out here. I wonder if I could see a fairy. I mean, I was really curious because, you know, that's something that people write about, and you know, so I never did for years and years. I didn't, and every now and then I would just think about it again, or especially if I was in the garden for a while, I would feel things around me.
Yeah,
and I would feel and hope it wasn't a snake. So I had stopped digging in the dirt, and I'd gone in the house and washed up, and I went upstairs to read. And I have I have a really extremely great green thumb. So I had this great big jade plant that was really big. And it was always in my bedroom. It was, you know, my plant there. Mm-hmm. And I was reading, and I just caught something out of the corner of my eye. And I looked over, and there was a leprechaun sitting on the limb of one of those fat little jade tree limbs with his foot up on the limb and leaning over on his knee, and he saw me looking at him. I mean, he like acknowledged me looking at him.
Yeah.
And I was just going, oh my God, and my mind is going, oh, thank you for letting me see you. And I just was grinning from ear to ear as he was grinning from ear to ear. And then he just faded. I mean, he just faded away till he disappeared.
Wow.
But I was so thrilled to see him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because it's like, it's legit and it wasn't a snake. Yay.
I know. Exactly. It was great. And you know, those kinds of things, they just carry your soul for so long because the dimensionality of that we live in is so multiple and so malleable, and we spend so much of our psychic energy maintaining this physical universe.
Yeah.
When there is such a broad spectrum of everything that we can just tune into, is if when we get into that space and go there.
What's your next project?
You know, right now, I'm working with IANS. This is my whole focus right now, is the International Association for Near-Death Studies.
Yeah.
And I'm on their board. They were on a segment on NBC's Today Show in December. And now I'm working on putting them on some other shows so that they will get more of a broader outlet. And because I really believe that so many people are having near-death experiences, but they don't know where to turn to or who to talk to. And so I think mainstream is more interested and knows more about it, but when they go to the doctor, they're just told, you're crazy. And the woman who's the president of IANS is a retired Army colonel.
Oh.
And she is totally concerned about boys who have been in Iraq and Afghanistan and all these wars that we've had for the last 20 years, that they are, because they're so young, almost all of them are really young, and they have these experiences. And when they tell their doctors of the VA, they give them psychotropic drugs. Because they think they're hallucinating.
Yeah.
And so then they end up being on the street. And it's really, really terrible. And so that's sort of her mission, is to do that. And so I'm trying to help them put that information out there. And
they're going
to
win. And with you on their side, it's just a matter of time. And we got to go. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing. And for the book, Snapshots, Memories, and Recipes, Sandra Martin, you are so fun to talk to, and great stories. So hopefully it'll burn up the book charts in a good way.
Yes. Thank you so much. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thank you. And I'm hoping that leprechaun makes another appearance, okay?
Oh, me too.
Okay.
Me too.
Because he's there. It's just a matter of time, too. All right. Hey,
yes.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. And then if you are listening now, you want to catch the podcast, wendyscoffeehouse.com. I'll load it up as soon as we can get to it. See ya. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
FM and AM 710 KCMO, 101.1 KCFX HD2, Kansas City's most stimulating talk, KCMO.